Now, I would ask you, have you heard Ion over the last 5 months? You're a pretty good listener to the show. Have you heard all that Ion said?
Yes. And so, you know, where I'm talking from right now, Bob, is kind of like going back into that last Tuesday or Tuesday before, and it was just something about the hacking of the Democrats and not the Republicans that leaves a really sour note on the manipulation of this election. I want to see everything.
Okay, do you know what Ion said about that? You don't have to believe Ion, but Ion has said, and it's tricky, dangerous to say this, but he said that the inside members of the Democratic committee released the files. Ion said two people were killed on orders of Hillary for releasing the emails. So you got two people, if you believe Ion, that Hillary ordered the murder of. But if they find out, and it gets proven that she murdered people and directed them, you're getting into the House of Cards TV show level.
Yeah.
If you don't believe Ion, then you're going to think at another level. But I believe Ion. I believe what Ion's saying as much as I believe anything. It's on a lot deep level, I don't care. But I do have enough evidence of Ion being right about a lot of things.
Absolutely.
And then he said a lot of other stuff about Hillary. Have you heard about the release of the UFO document? That email that came out that said something was going to happen on Election Day?
Right.
All these UFOs showing up?
Some kind of holographic deal. Yes. Podesta?
Right. Ion says that was going to happen, but something stopped it.
What?
I can't say. I'm not going to say. Right? I'm not going to say. But if that's true, then that's even more dramatic. Because Obama signed off on the FEMA, Federal Emergency Measures Act, that would be the result of that, the canceling of the election, and then other things would happen. So there's another factor I've got to consider. Because I see what Ion's doing and what he can do, I have to sort of believe it if I'm going to engage in public reaction. Now, I've asked Ion, they're going to go after Hillary first, yes. What about Bill Clinton? That'll be later. So I don't know who's picking the order. And now on top of that, Evan, Ion says it's up to fucking me to decide whether we should go after Hillary or not, or the Attorney General or something. What am I supposed to do with that? With a pretty credible thing that's caused all kinds of revolutions in food products and all that we do. I know we have the coal fusion energy that everybody's waiting for. We got it. And then it tells me that I'm in charge of all this decision. What would you do in that case? Would you tell them to go fuck off?
You're talking about these particular crimes. Well, those crimes sound puny in compared to the place that we are. And if there is no murder, then why should she be prosecuted for going and having those two people killed? And who were those two people anyway? Were they particular double agents, etc.? You know, who knows the full background? So that's part of the thing that is kind of a little bit confusing, because I hear you talk about Hillary. These crimes need to go down, but at the very same time, it's like it's puny compared to where we are at.
Well, where are we at? Where are we at? We're actually having a good time if you're on the products. We're at a great time. It's not a problem.
No. Not just back to the little cloistered folks that are aligned with you, Bob.
Ion says they're all going to die. There's going to be a massive die-off. And the only holy office that says that is William Irwin Thompson. So I give him credit for anticipating Ion. But those are the facts that Ion presents us.
Yes.
And he's always telling Carolyn, what the fuck are you talking about? Patience for. They're all losers. Kill them. Let them go. And so Carolyn has to deal with this demon. On many levels, Ion sounds like a demon that's encouraging her to stop having consultations. They're all losers. And if they don't know to take the product, then forget about them. So we could be very confused people, me and Carolyn, in this situation.
Yeah.
But we're fucking smart.
Absolutely.
And we're not confused. And we're detached. We got all the qualities to ride it out. But I agree that Ion is a very confusing phenomenon.
Then how are you straddling that then? You see, that's so interesting. If these people are reaching out to Carolyn because they have the will to heal and they are coming and taking the products and doing this, what is it for non-physical to say, stop that? I don't understand that phenomenon.
I think Ion sees Carolyn just trying to get her ready for a huge role, a busy on a whole other level, and being the last resort for 1,000 people who find her and then come and then go on and have all these crazy reactions, or some of them do get benefit. I think it's the puniness level of what Carolyn at this point is forced to work at that Ion is saying, get ready.
That puny level, though, has created your little empire. Okay, has helped heal you, Bob, and so many other.
I'm not healable. I am not healable. I remain. I am the worst. I'm the most insulted person on here. You hear Ion tell people, you don't want to be Bob. He told Roxana, don't listen to Bob. Stop thinking about what Bob says. I've got a fucking triple agent I'm working with named Ion that's always undermining anything I do.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
but I'm so
fucking detached, and I found out some new information about myself. You won't fucking believe it. I can't tell anybody, but holy shit, we got a big problem with me.
Well,
Carol has a big problem. He's done pretty good the last 50 years with it, but it helped Carol understand a lot of fucking weird stuff going on. Anyways, it seems that there's a new level of a post-information, a post-communication world going on, and the more you get and think the android means talking to you, you're going to get in trouble. The only thing to listen to is Ion, because Ion is a challenge to everybody. It's the most challenging communication going, if you're paying attention seriously.
Yes,
go ahead.
Yes, very good. I mean, I sat back and took a look at the election, went on and listened to you and Ion, and got a perspective on Trump. So I think on the Republican side, you would see as much turmoil as you saw on the Democratic ticket. And, you know, what I saw of Hillary, if those people were murdered, if she made the call to do that,
she could make a case that it was justified. You know, when you're Secretary of State and you make decisions about, well, we're going to kill those terrorists and this and that, she could consider them infiltrators, blackmailers, and worthy of being killed. They betrayed her organizations, and maybe she found out they were. So that has to, if it's going to be investigated, that's what will come out. We don't know how extreme. But I'm always going to remind you what Ion said. Ion started talking about the fucking Tea Party the day they had that 600 people met somewhere around 2010. Remember that? The first meeting of a few people?
He said
the next day, these people are going to take over. I didn't even know who he was talking about. And I'm not following the news, so it took me a year to catch up to him, but he was always going on. And what happened to the Tea Party about 4 years ago? He said there are six people in that Tea Party who control Washington. And it seems the Chinese, the good Chinese, not the government Chinese, the financial Chinese, who are totally supporting us and are waiting for us to surface, they support the dismantling of Washington, draining the swamp. And these Tea Party people, apparently the serious, powerful Tea Party people in government or wherever they are, they had the ability to make sure nothing new is built in Washington. They're going to gradually dismantle it. And then a guy shows up that they can ride with because he's doing their agenda. So Ion says that the Tea Party, these six people, are really running Washington. So there's another fact to consider if you put any credence in Ion. You hear people talk about the Tea Party, oh, they're gone, they disappeared 3 years ago. What about this fucking fact? Eben, we don't know who these six people are and their qualities. They're just pretending they're Tea Party, maybe. Who knows who they are? They could be fucking aliens. But the thing is they have power, and I don't know if it's motivated. They just know that Washington's got to go, that Washington is a bureaucratic swamp, and they're doing that. We used to have, through James Martinez, he'd get letters from people who the bank would take away their house even though they paid off their mortgage. And so I said, where is this coming from, Ion? He's just coming from China. China owns the United States, and they're gradually going to do something and take it over in some way. But they're not against the American people. They're against Washington. So the Chinese are doing things, and probably Tetrad management. They're very sophisticated. They're out to stop Washington and dismantle that and then allow America to be freed. And then who are they counting on to free them? Fucking me. You know that story about Obama, about, say, 2012, when the Chinese Prime Minister was there the day before his big State of the Union address, and let's say January 2012? Obama talked about small business is going to save us. And he got a lot of flack for that. So then Ayn tells me, well, you know who that small business was? And the Chinese told him to say that, and he did. He followed the orders. The small business is us, Bob. We are going to regenerate the whole fucking country. And so you hear Ayn say today, Bob, the day you signed your fucking citizenship, which was August 17th, 2016, you fucking destroyed this country, and it's fallen apart since then. You're causing this, Bob. So I get this fucking demon telling me, and I'm pretty good at being detached, eh? I am still a funny, happy guy here, even though this demon is trying to make me go fucking megalomaniac in new superhuman proportions. But right. I don't even mind people knowing this. I don't care if they think I'm nuts. I'm just telling you what this phenomenon, which is undeniably the most smart fucking talker on the planet today. So smart to cover every angle and confuse everybody.
What is it then with Trump coming out, and is this a part of what China and you would want? With the $1 trillion infrastructure project, is that, I mean, that would mean printing money. That would mean adding $1 trillion to our debt.
There's only one guy, one phenomenon that can make that happen, and that's Ayn. Did you hear that Ayn told us, or I played it from a private session, that, you know, when the market started to tank in the evening when Trump was winning?
They turned around.
Well, you know why it turned around? Ayn did it. Ayn told me that they went in there and said, we're not going to let this bullshit happen. And they propped it back up, and it's still soaring. Ayn's doing that. Now, there's nobody other than about five people in the world who believe what I'm saying, right? Most people do.
I don't believe this thing.
You actually might believe it, Evan. You're impressed with Ayn. So you might even say, oh, yeah, okay. So,
but I don't know why he's doing it, though.
Well, he's trying to keep the world together till Bob gets his job done. That's all. We've been planning it for 10,000 years.
But keep it together so that people can suicide themselves.
Oh, no, no. We're not interested in anybody. We're not interested in any fucking humans or anything. We're going to bring in a world because, for some reason, the frequency of the world is changing. And Ayn is giving us products to adapt to that. If you can't adapt, you're going to die. You're going to freak out.
Right.
And that's why RNA drops, it's going to become the currency of the world, the gold standard. Yes. Think of that.
Yeah.
I tell that to somebody,
you know,
Andrew Crystal, and these people go, you fucking Bob, you are a fucking nut, Bob. You didn't even say that. It's fucking nuts. I have lost every friend, you know, from before Ayn, in the sense that we were acquaintances and talked. They do not want to talk to me anymore because I've gone off the fucking beam. But Ayn told me today, Bob, they are shocked that our prediction that Trump would win, we were calling him President Trump a fucking year ago. They holy shit, and they get scared. They go, fucking Bob's right. Holy, what are we going to do? You know? So there's that tremor going
through. It's a bit of a readjustment.
Yeah, and the important part about Ayn is he called the oscillation. I said, in September, well, what's going to happen? He says it's going to go up and down, Hillary's ahead, then Hillary's behind, then Trump's ahead. And he called exactly what would happen for those 3 months. That's even more impressive.
So with that, did Ayn have anything to do with the email hack?
I don't know about that. Ayn is in there meddling with so many fucking things. Basically, Ayn is the technology. Everybody says Twitter's the new technology. You know, Trump hijacked it. He's like the FDR of radio. He's the FDR of Twitter. And that's the new obvious medium that, in McLuhan terms, you should be looking at what social media has done, and the social media president came in. Ayn is the new ground. He's the one fucking propping up Twitter or whatever he's propping up. Ayn is the technology that's changing everything, the way McLuhan says. You know, 10% of the reality, the real reality, you don't notice. You notice the 90%. So Twitter's 90%, Ayn's the 10%. And Ayn is doing so much, I can't tell everybody all he's doing. And Ayn is very careful what he tells me, because I get all carried away and start telling people. So I'm always being held on the leash. And he even so cynically says, Bob, we know you're going to tell everybody eventually, but just fucking keep it to yourself for a couple weeks and we get this fucking project done, and then it's on to the next project, you know, after that. So, yeah, Ayn is in charge.
Okay, Bob, so then right now, besides being on the completement formulas, relax and allow, et cetera, do we still have free will to act.
No, I don't think we have any fucking free will. We can decide whether we're going to accept the good feelings we've got. That was the three stages. I am presented information. Phase two was you take the RNA drops. This is back in 2011. And phase three was you decide whether you want to keep going with the good feeling you're getting. Many people don't like to have it all good or appear to be feeling good. For some perverse human thing. They want to be different or something.
Very interesting.
So those are the three phases.
It creates an existential.
So there is choice eventually.
So is it just the natural propensity to understand once you start taking the formulas, you start feeling better, et cetera, to create the contrast, understand that you're in a new place?
Yeah, because it's a natural ebb and flow. You're feeling good on the drops. And then you get used to it. So you say, I don't know if I'm still feeling good. So you create contrast. Oh, yeah, I don't want to go back there. Like, I won't take the drugs for 2 fucking weeks. We got that all the time. Shit, man. I was fucked up for 2 weeks till the drops came. They got the contrast, and then they accept. I'm going to get back and feel good again. So you do naturally, until you're an extreme ascended person that doesn't have it, you do bring contrast to know where you're at, how good it is. It's natural.
And you know what, sometimes I'm feeling not grounded, and I think that contrast helps ground or helps bring it back to an old model of self. How do you get used to your new elation?
Well, this is what happened to Roxy. When we did the castles a couple of weeks ago, Roxy said, boy, I totally was feeling heavy, lethargic, and dizzy. What was going on with me? That was a terrible castle. And I said, that castle was so powerful that you were starting to feel the power, but you interpreted it as a drag, as painful, as dizziness. And so that's what you have to watch. When you really start getting power, your mind's going to fuck with it, say, no, this is bad. And she had said it took her 2 weeks to recover from the trip. She's like, I disoriented, I didn't know where I was, I had to go to work, but it was pretty hard. Now she's bounced out, but it was a very powerful experience. And all the time, Ian's telling her, you're getting your power back. We told you this is going to happen, and you're taking these syndromes of dizziness as negative. No, that's part of taking your power. So that would be where you get ascended. The blurring between good and bad feelings, you've got to overcome that. Overcome and realize, well, feeling good is bad, and feeling bad is good because it tells me I was feeling good. You know, and then you can start. Oh, Dr. Dean, a minute with Dr. Dean.
Okay, here is my sidewalk analysis. I was in the health freedom movement, so I was a so-called activist for a little while.
That'd be 12 years ago.
12 years ago, whoa. And it's a total burnout situation. Because you're banging your head against a big brick wall. You have no hope of, quote, winning. And I get enough information out of it by, you know, my travels and going to Washington, sitting in senators' offices, telling their aides, this one guy, top aide, said, well, you know, we can't help you guys with your desire to have options and choices in health care because we are threatened by the drug companies that if we don't support them entirely and if we don't reject alternatives, they'll go offshore. It was hopeless. So, you know, a few years went by and I was investigating magnesium, etc., and finally realized that a few little handful of products could be safe from Kodak and people could use them and get better. So I was able to detach myself because I worked myself away from that situation and found a lucrative way to survive. But I see, Eben, you're in a situation where you're a public figure, you're a good person, you want to, quote, help people, and a lot of people look to you for guidance. So that is at war with your ascending self, where, you know, you keep kind of rebelling against the fact that as you become a god, you will be detached and you won't care about these other people. Because partly when you do try to pat someone on the head and say, oh, it's okay, I'll take care of you, you're putting them in a little man position. Right. And so I think there's a war going on because if, you know, being on the completement formulas, you are changing. And it's going to be harder and harder for you to straddle both worlds. And that's what Bob was talking about, how I still am straddling both worlds because I have to keep saying to Ion, you know, I just say, I'm doing this, what do you think? And, well, you know, eat sewage. And I say, oh, no, no. This is for little man I'm talking. I'm not talking about the God people. Okay, okay. So he obliges me and talks to me about little man, and I'll continue to do that. And I don't feel split about it, and I don't know why, but it feels okay to me. But I think, you know, folks go through the split where they want to be nice, good people that help. And then, on the other hand, they just get so pissed off at the whiny losers that don't want to help themselves.
Right.
So that's what I see going on in your little big head.
Thank you. Thank you. You're absolutely right on, Dr. Dean. You know, I was sitting there coming in and rebelling on behalf of the little folks I would talk to on KPFK at that particular level. And then at the other time, I have felt, how could I not care? What is this world about? And it's hard to hear Bob say that Ion's telling you, fuck them, let them die, da, 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 da. I mean, I don't understand that. I mean, how, as social beings.
It's just a wake-up call.
No, I want to add this. The best argument Ion comes up with, you help people by radiating your bliss.
Yeah.
They see that and they go, yeah, I want some of that. What are you doing?
Yeah,
and
true.
It seems to be the only way to get through to someone else.
Right.
A personal emanation, and that's the only way to communicate.
Absolutely.
And so you're being quote, good without all the social definitions of what's good or bad. It was like no mind. I met someone a couple of days ago, and he hadn't seen me like in 5 years, some beach person. He says, holy shit, man, are you Bob? I said, yeah. He says, well, you look like you're 15 years old. What the fuck? What's going on? He was scared. You know what I mean? I look like a fucking weirdo.
Really? Came back
and how did you do this? The guy knows nothing about me, so I just said, well, my wife's a doctor, but probably one of the best doctors in the world, so she looked after me. So I think I asked, did you hear that, Carol? Did I ask Ian about what the guy saw? Oh, yeah, I think I asked him today about that. I can't play all the stuff about me all the time. It becomes ridiculous. But Ian said, well, Jesus Christ, Bob, your body is not like anybody else on the planet because you've been doing the drops the longest than anybody. You're fucking mutated, Bob, and people see it as emanation or radiation, so live with it. I'm doing the emanation, and I don't even care if they see it, but they see it, and they're affected, but then they're confused by it. They don't get total effect. But other people would see it and say, oh, I want to, well, what do you do, Bob? They'd actually pursue it. What are you actually doing? And I'd tell them, and then they might do it. But I think that's one of the best arguments. It's hard to beat that argument. Look, you can't help people if you're feeling fucked up and you're weak yourself. Because if they start to depend on you, you'll get drained because you don't have the ability and resources to help them. Mm-hmm. And now here's Trump on the fucking RNA drops. And I did a little rant last week about for the last 3 days, he was running all over the fucking place, hadn't slept for 3 or 4 days, went to 100 cities. It's like Chad tells me, he has to keep exercising to get so much energy. This is where we cause the whole thing. Trump had all this fucking non-free will fucking thing we stuck in him, and he ran around like insane, you know, just ranting and raving with no fatigue. So that's a pretty interesting phenomenon that he did.
What do you think Hillary would be like on the drops?
Yeah, well, that's
so
interesting. We said, okay, or I asked, I said, if Hillary wins, what would she do when she finds out about us? She'd kill you, Bob. That's what they said.
Really?
She'd kill you.
Mm.
And so I said, Trump wouldn't do that? No, he's interested in better things, and he hasn't got any whatever ideological thing that Hillary's got. He would support us. So isn't that incredible? We're told that Hillary is such a megalomaniac that she'd want to have it, and she'd try to take it away from us and put it into her old-fashioned statement.
Evan, what have you heard about Hillary's seizures? Because she was definitely having at least petty mal seizures on camera several times.
Well, I mean,
she's got some sort of brain.
Ion has given us the health report. You know, Hillary doesn't go to Dr. Oz. She doesn't go to anybody. But Ion tells us what's going on with her, and she almost wouldn't make it through this next year if she was president, says Ion.
You know what?
She's got embolism and a bunch of other problems.
when she almost passed out at the, in New York.
911.
Yeah, a 911, celebration. It didn't even look like her. I mean, it looked like one of those synthetic robotoids or something. I don't know. It did not look like her at all.
Okay, so we've talked about that with Ion, Eben. She's got two doubles, I think. A double came out of her daughter's home. After she collapsed, and later in the day, she came out and said, well, that was a double. Now, she was having a cough, and I said, how is she going to get through the debates with this really bad cough? Oh, severe medication? And that's where you see Hillary's face was odd. She smiled this funny, doll-like smile. That's probably a medication effect. And then Ian said that she has to do the debate. The doubles can't do it. They can't talk as fast and as smart as her. So she's fucked. At that point before the debate, before the first debate, he said she's going in there, she's going to be all drugged up, it's going to be hard for her to perform, and she's just going to have to keep the cough down, can't have that happen, and she's going to have to do it. No double. So that was the tension she was under.
Yeah, I didn't pay much attention, but I did run across a neurologist who diagnosed her with Parkinson's disease. One of the things she has, this pill rolling of her fingers and the shuffling gait, and what he said happened about the debate is they had to seclude her for a couple of days before the debate. They put her on a Parkinson's drug holiday so that she'd be off drugs for 2 days, and then they could kind of heavy dose her so that she could perform. They have to do that because the drugs start wearing off. If they hadn't secluded her and given her the drug holiday.
Yeah, they were wondering why she was out campaigning, Trump was, and they said, she's preparing for her debate.
Yeah, so, I mean, that kind of made sense. And when you see some of the shuffling gait and the wooden face and her always fiddling with her fingers, that's all Parkinson's symptoms.
So she shares with maybe a part of Trump this kind of arrogance that even with these challenges, she still wants a position she is not fit for.
Yeah, because when you have that sort of MO for decades, like she had to stand by gritting her teeth while Bill was president, probably thinking she could do a better job.
Exactly.
She's been, pining for that position for decades.
Yeah, now there's another point. Ian said that she did not want to be president in 2008. She did want to be Secretary of State because you're not trapped in the bubble. You get to go around the world and be mobile, whereas Obama...
And she could make more money.
She's a trillionaire. She became a trillionaire. So I then said, why is she running now? She didn't want it. And Ian says, because it's personal. So I didn't go into what that means, but we sort of know it's personal. She wants to be the first woman. She's pissed off at everybody else that fucked up. And so it's personal. That's why she changed her view and wanted to be... she did her Secretary of State, got her money, and she's very greedy for money, Ian says. That's what she lives for, is making money. Doesn't have sex anymore. That's trivial. Matter of fact, she feels so superior to everybody that she can't actually have a sex act because the person is less than her, So then he said that they... So she gets everything that she can get from Secretary of State. And on that level, it's logical. Now she can cap it off with being the first woman and all that other ego stuff she's doing. Did you notice that a lot of her campaign was, it'll be the first time we break the glass ceiling. It was all about herself. And you hear the people who talking about the blue wall in Michigan and that, those people said, she's not even talking about us. She's running for her own image. And the average working person said, that's fucked up, man. I'm going with Trump. He's helping me. He's not going around saying, I'm going to be the first asshole to be president. The first corrupt, narcissist fucking asshole. Vote for me. It will break the ebony ceiling.
Yeah. I did hear her at the Catholic Charities roast. So, Carolyn, how drugged up was she there? Because, they must have done an amazing job to prop her up because her television presence did resonate well. It's at the roast, at the debates. I mean, they did a pretty good job at getting her to
move. Well, here's an interesting
point.
Let me
just say.
No, it's about you. Carolyn told me the other day we were watching Trump do something, and she says, I watch Hillary, she's not real, but Trump actually comes across as real. Like, Carolyn's got pretty perceptive eyes. Carolyn liked the way Trump performed.
Yeah, toward the end he was much...
Not in the debates, but in the speeches he was making in the final debate.
No, she's always been so plastic. I can barely watch her because it's so embarrassing. I find it embarrassing to watch someone who does little, you know, grins and that stupid little hand wave that she gives.
Hey, Bob, about what you said, Carolyn said about there's Hillary and then Trump looks real. You talked about JFK. It was a television effect. That's why he had to be knocked off so much power by it. Is there something with Trump? Because I don't know if he had a television effect or if it was already really him because as a reality.
No, it's his Twitter effect.
Personally.
You know, I don't get to see Hillary. Hillary's not emailing me. Trump was kind of emailing everybody. It was out there who would listen. He was telling them personally, hey, look, this is what I'm doing today. Fuck us. Lock her up. I mean, people loved his humor about it. It made it fun. But here's the thing. Yeah. Did you hear what Ian said about Trump in 2009 that I played? Ian, very early, first few months in the summer of 2009, we'd done a show or two with you, but we hadn't done Cashflow yet. And he's going on about the Queen and the Tudors and all these magical empires. And then he goes, Trump or dumb or something. I go, what? Trump? And I knew about him in New York. I said, what? Donald Trump? He says, yes. And he didn't say much. He just said, yes, Trump's pretty powerful, Bob. Then he kept bringing it up all through the summer. And so I played excerpts from about five sessions through July to December. And they're all saying, this Trump guy is pretty amazing. He's right up there. So I went back a few weeks ago. I said, what did he say? And you can see it now. I know more. He's saying that Trump's like a pharaoh. He's a fucking parallel worlding genius guy who's incredibly powerful. And I can say some other things, which I can't say. But this guy, no wonder Ion singled him out. Then starts saying a couple of years ago that Trump was going to be president. Like a year ago, he's going, President Trump. And this is, you know, when people were thinking, oh, he won't even make it out of the primaries.
Bob, you mentioned the Twitter and the chip body. He's 70 years old. He was big in the television world and successful in that. He wrote about 10 books, so he's gone into the whole Gutenberg sort of world and been successful in that. He's gone into the hardware world with making buildings to put chemical bodies in and, you know, employing people. He's really versed in all these worlds, and he's adept at the chip body world. So really, when you think of it, he's dealing with a very strong five cards. He's got a Trump hand.
He's a Trump. And then dig this, this crazy Ian is telling me that he's the last Trump, the last trumpet in the Book of Revelation. What? This guy was in the Bible? And I started saying later as I sort of absorbed it, I said, there's that, Carol, like 2,000 years ago, John the Reveler saw Trump on the horizon. Yeah, that fucking guy, he's a giant. He's going to do something. And if you understand that he's going to be successful, which is why Ian said he's going to be incredibly good for America and all, he's going to get all that he's saying done because he's got our help and the Chinese mountain behind him, it's biblical what he's done. If he does become successful, regardless of everybody's puny little man projections on him, he's actually going to do it, Evan. And someone posted some criticism. I said, hey, buddy, get ready. You're going to have to deal with the fact he's going to be successful. What are you going to do with that? It's like another frequency change.
Yeah, this election definitely has created choice. It's pushing people to make a choice, either to get out or to get up.
As trivial as he appeared to be, he made choice real. He made people get out of the bland, mediocre choice between two evils. He made, for many people, he became, holy shit, man, this election's important. We got to stop Hitler. And people couldn't take that stress. They didn't want that bothering them.
Yeah, and he had both parties against him.
Which must mean
he was doing something right.
Yeah. He's May Brussels. You know this. May Brussels running for president. She was in debate. She said, as soon as I become president, Mr. René Lévesque, I'm going to put you in jail. May would have done that. We've got this guy acting out LaRouche and May Brussels and Dr. Beter right in front of us in the debates. And, of course, what's Ian say? He learned from you, Bob. He studied you. He's using you as a guide to be outrageous.